Luke 18:8.
Just put it in context. In verse 6, it says, "And the Lord said, Hear what this unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he hear long, he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on or in the earth?" Speedily is it's an interesting word in terms of how it's used. Let's look at Revelation 1. It's the word tachos. Yeah, it's like tacos, but it's got T-A-K-H-O-S. Revelation chapter 1. This is an interesting because...
I sneezed right when you said... Place Revelation 8 or 18?
Revelation 1.
Quadrupled it twice.
Yeah.
And the reason this is important is because of what he says here. Verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Or it says shortly, that's the word that's normally translated speedily. Now, this was written in AD 96, about then. So it's getting close to 2,000 years. Yet it says it speedily must come to pass. Let's look at the same thing in Revelation 22. Well, let's just start at verse 1. And he showed unto me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, as they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. And again, this will speedily be done. Now, if you look at the history of the church, you find out that apostasy entered in very quickly. And so speedily, it isn't coming speedily because of our rebellion. Another speedily. All right, let's go back to Luke 18. I just wanted to point that speedily is how it's used, quickly, speedily, shortly. The reason I want to say that, talk about that a second, is because he's not long-suffering. What is it? He's long-suffering, not willing that any should come short. And you have to read this, and we have to see this, is that we are the ones, through our rebellion, that are keeping it from coming to pass. And that's why the word in 2 Peter, where it says, if you see these things, then you hasten. And remember, hasten is that strange word. Is that... Let's go. I'm taking a side trip here. Go to 2 Peter, chapter 3. Verse 10. The day of... Well, let's see what... Well, let's just go to that verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God? And hasting is causing the day of the Lord to come by your obedience. That's what that word hasting means. And in order for us to understand this, you have to feel like you're the one that's keeping it from coming to pass because of your own rebellion. All right. Back to Luke. Verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth, or in the earth? And faith is pistis. It means fidelity, assurance, total trust. Shall he find faith on the earth? And then 9. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And this is the one we've studied many times. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself. He didn't pray it out loud, but this is what is in his thoughts. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. And then it goes on, blah, blah, blah. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. Trusted is a word that comes from the same word for faith, but it's pytho, but it means confidence in yourself. This is where, in Matthew, he says, I thank thee, God, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, revealed them unto babes. Babes here are you've returned to that place, except you become as that little child, except to be converted, become as that little child, you shall no wise enter the kingdom of God. Do you believe? I mean, this thing about self-awareness is everything. It's the...
These guys had a misplaced trust. I mean, they were trusting in themselves about a misplaced thing, which is their own righteousness, which was a lie. They were doubly blinded. I guess that's like in contrast to, he says, well, I find faith on the earth. He's teaching this parable to people who are having faith in themselves.
Amen.
It's not the real faith.
There's two things that I want us to look at. It's not in order here, but let's go to Hosea chapter 1. Hosea is right after Daniel. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take thee a wife of whoredoms, a prostitute, and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredoms, departing from the Lord. Excuse me. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And then each of his children were named something really evil. But it says that they did this to show Israel their adultery. In verse 8 of chapter 2 it says, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold. And up, but it's whatever is needed, whatever you need, you go and do it. You take the action and you do it. And he did this to show he caused Hosea to marry a hooker. To show us what we're doing. Where are you not trusting in him, or where are you leaning on your own arm of understanding? If you're leaning on your own arm of understanding, or trusting in cause and effect or any other thing to accomplish your end, then from God's standpoint, you're committing adultery and fornication. Now this is it's almost impossible to believe this. Let's look at Isaiah 30. No wonder I couldn't find it. I was looking at 29. It's verse 30, chapter 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. They walked to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt be your confusion. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to go back to Egypt? It means you go back to the world. Egypt is the eternal type of the world. You go back to the world for your sustenance, and you use the tools of the world to accomplish what you think is your need. And then, again, that's what Hosea calls whoredoms. And you have, it says, because you have not asked of me. They didn't condemn him for going down. They condemned him because they didn't ask of me first. Now, in order for that to take place, you've got to justify yourself some way. This is why I keep telling you, if you feel that something is needed, and that you have to get it, or you have to do this or that, then please, I beg of you, confess it to God and say, I think I need to do it in order to live. Yeah. Take the lowest seat. Amen. Now, this has happened to me many times over the course of being a believer. And I promise you, every time I didn't ask of him, it turned into a disaster. Do you understand that that's how God sees it? That if you go anywhere but to him for anything, it's whoredom, it's fornication? Does anybody want to talk about that? Anybody agree with it?
Yeah, there it is, right there.
Yeah.
Now remember, the definition of a Pharisee is they say see two worlds. You have a spiritual world and then you have a natural world. And you're okay in the spiritual world, you do thus and so, and then but you return to the natural world, it'll become as a Gentile. This is not preached today in the church, as far as I know, except where the church is persecuted. All right, go back to Luke. Now we're in verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Remember, the Pharisee, they created the universe where there was two worlds, where they could be religious over here, but then they did their natural good stuff. The publican was the most despised of all. And it was because he was the tax collector.
What is the difference between a Pharisee and a Gentile?
What?
What is the difference between a Pharisee and a Gentile?
Well, I mean, it's just that the Gentile doesn't believe in God or doesn't pay any attention to any of this.
Okay.
The Gentile is just everybody, but the true Israel. From God's perspective, there's only the bride and the whore.
Right. Oh, so the Pharisee believes in himself and God.
Right.
Okay, well, you answered my question.
All right. He trusted in himself that he was righteous and despised the other. Despised. It means it's exuthen. Exuthenio. It means contemptible, thought worthless.
wasn't just this particular person he despised.
No.
It says he despised everybody, really. He despised himself so much that everybody was sort of despised in one way or another.
Yeah.
As opposed to himself.
We're going to spend a little bit of time on despise. Let's go to Luke 22. First, Luke 23.
What's the definition of despise again?
It's thought worthless, contemptible. Luke
23.
Where did we go?
Luke
23. This is Jesus is before Pilate and Herod. I don't want to go through all. And Herod, verse 11, and Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in gorgeous robe and set him again to Pilate. Now, it's to set at naught means, is the same word that means despised or thought worthless or it's contemptible. And so they mocked him. All right, then go to Acts 4. I screwed up. Romans 14. Verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? And the set at naught is exothenio, the same word, despised or thought worthless. Do we ever despise my brother? Do you ever? Do you ever do this? Do you ever set at naught somebody in your brother in the body or sister?
Yes. Yeah, whatever. Despise?
Have to repent.
Yeah.
Give me an example of what it means, or an example of you doing that or me doing that. Doesn't mean just. It means really it's not just your brother, it's anybody, but it's your brother where it's tested. Well, it happens all the time, in not so dramatic ways. When you think somebody is worthless, or less than you, it's very similar to judging, but it's got a more emotional content with it.
Well, you think I would have done it this way.
Yeah.
This, you've got to be so stupid not to have done it the way I would have done it.
Yeah.
That's really what goes through my mind. Yeah.
Well, one of the other things is when you have a a way that you think things should be, and this one is really stupid, but every time. When Saturday mornings we come in, somebody has set the napkins and the knives and forks all on the tables. And every time it's on the wrong side, it's on the right side, on the left side, it's supposed to be on the right side. And the it's supposed to be the knife first and then the fork and then the spoons. And so every time that that happens, I come in and I go around and change it all. I'm really despising of setting a knot somebody.
The person who did that on purpose to make you mad.
No, they don't know. They didn't even know that I'm doing it.
I don't know if that's despising or OCD.
Well, it's OCD and despising.
It's like on Downton Abbey where they have a ruler, you know, to set the tables so everything is completely perfect.
No,
you know, they have
tell
those
me about
servants
that.
Do this thing, you know.
No. When I was in doing what I did, I always had embassy privileges. And at embassy meals and parties, everything has to be set perfectly, except when they're honoring somebody from another country that does it differently, then everything is in the way of the person they're honoring. And so I got so used to that.
Like in Ethiopia, no utensils at all.
In Ethiopia, but I never went to the embassy in Ethiopia. But you eat with your fingers. You eat with. But anyway, those minor, seemingly minor things, we end up despising. Or if somebody says something you don't think they should say, you're despising them.
I had that recently, despising.
All right, that's enough. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1.
But surprisingly, if I learned something about me or it revealed something in me that I didn't see, so
what all that? Verse 26.
Where
1 Corinthians 1. You got it? With your magic machine?
Mm-hmm.
For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble or honorable are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and those things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. So the whole idea, you can get a picture here that we so quickly despise, I mean, we'd never use that word, but it's what we do when someone doesn't meet some standard of behavior. You understand? So we are guilty of despising. Go to 2 Corinthians.
Sort of fits in with a thing of what is highly esteemed among men.
Amen.
The opposite of that would be despise. That's what God chooses.
Chapter 10, 2 Corinthians. This is verse 7. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, or he belongs to Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For as letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but as bodily presence is weak, and as speech contemptible. Contemptible is despised. They're saying that about Paul. His bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. All right, one more, Galatians 4. I'll just start verse 8. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which are by nature are no gods, which by nature are no gods. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, I'll turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, when you desire again to be in bondage. You observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, he's talking about his flooring in the flesh. My temptation was in my flesh, you despise not, nor reject it, but receive me as an angel of God, or even as Christ Jesus. So here, because of this thing that he was just talking about, how he was weak and contemptible, the Galatians didn't pay any attention to that, because they saw... They saw through.
You know, and that's the secret. Right. All of this, you know.
Yeah, and that's, but I just want us to be, to take away today, if you're going to go down to Egypt for something, please ask of God first. And what does it mean to go down to Egypt? To go back into the world system to do something or get something. Anything. Because it's fornication to return to the world. For anything. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Anybody have any other response? Take a big guy.